I'm Sonia Morton Firth, and today you're watching The Sonia Morton Firth Show. My guest today is the beautiful Maxine Clancy. Maxine has been through two brutal divorces, one ending in an affair and leaving her in excruciating pain. Maxine now helps heal other people that have been through similar situations and helps them go on and lead healthy, beautiful relationships. She is a certified psychotherapist and counsellor, trained in calling in the one and heart math. She's also been trained and mentored by some of the greats, such as Tony Robbins, Dr. John DeMartini, and Brian Katie. Maxine, it's so good to have you on my show. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I'm so excited.
I'm really excited as well. Maxine, tell me a little bit more about your journey of how you got to become a divorce coach and what brought you to this place.
Right. Well, obviously, I've been divorced. Yes. I've been divorced twice, actually. So when I started out as a relationship coach, I started out as a psychotherapist. I had an ongoing problem with my throat and I kept getting laryngitis. And once when I had laryngitis, I was about 20, 25 at the time. Yeah. I went to a bookshop and I bought a book called Women Love, Sex and Addiction by Dr. Charlotte Kayser.
Okay, I think I've heard that. Yes. Yeah.
And I was reading the book and I was just like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. This is incredible. And she was a psychotherapist and she was talking about relationships and women's problems in relationships. And I just thought, I want to do that. So I trained as a psychotherapist, worked
That's
in...
That's fantastic. And how yeah. old were you at this stage?
I was 25, 26, and originally they said I couldn't do it. They said I was too young. And then when I went for the interview, they said, yes, your life experience, you can do it. So I was really excited. And I spent about 3 years as a bereavement counsellor, so while I was doing my training, because you have to obviously getting hours. And so I think that gave me a really good grounding in psychotherapy and in who we are as people and also in the grief process when you lose someone. And so after that, I got heavily involved in Tony Robbins and just all the different personal development. And I decided to be a coach. And I just kept getting drawn to relationship coaching, to helping people find love. And then when I was going through my divorce, my second divorce.
So you were married at this point?
No, I wasn't actually. I got married to my first husband while I was training as a psychotherapist. It was a sort of 5-year program. And during that time, I got married. Okay. And we were married. We were together for 12 years. And after getting married, I unfortunately, or fortunately, who knows, but I had an affair. And so from there, what happened was, we split up and then I met my second husband a year later and we had a whirlwind romance. It was amazing. It was beautiful. Had two children and we had an amazing life. And then during that time, I was doing a lot of coaching for women, women's empowerment, relationship stuff. I've always been intrigued by love. What is it about love? Why do we love? How do we love ourselves, et cetera, et cetera.
And had you got over your first husband, you'd sort of let that
go? Oh, yes.
I
was well over that. I was like, you know what? He was amazing and he was just a lovely soul, but I was very young. I didn't really understand myself, even though I was in therapy at the time and I was training as a psychotherapist. I didn't understand that I had this inner desire to feel safe. And marrying him was me trying to feel safe and secure. And in fact, interestingly enough, sort of 6 months afterwards, I had an affair, but I also started to have panic attacks. And I'd always travelled. I've been on planes so many times, and I've been on the tube since the age of 16, and I was 27. And I started having really bad panic attacks, like really, really bad. I couldn't get on the train, couldn't get on the tube. Mm. Every time I got on an aeroplane, I'd feel like nauseous and sick. And I felt trapped. I actually felt, even though I was seeking security,
and do you think
I felt
that
trapped.
Was because you felt trapped? That was your body's way of...
Now, I have a deeper understanding of the mind-body connection. Mm. And, you know, when we have all those sort of feelings, it is reflecting something back to us. So I think part of my panic was around the fact that I didn't really want to be married to this person. Yeah. That it wasn't that it was a wrong choice, because obviously everything that happens to us helps us to evolve to the person that we are now. Mm. But fundamentally, I got married. I did love him, but we wanted different things in life. And it was really through after I finished my training and I went to Tony Robbins, to UPW, walked on hot coals, and then I was just like, I want a divorce. And funny enough, I actually took my my first husband to UPW to help him, because he'd been unemployed for a long time. Mm. And my problem was I wanted to fix people, and you can't fix people, you know.
Had you fixed yourself?
Not at the time. No, not at all. No. You know, and the thing is, you don't need to be fixed. You're actually already whole. But that's what we're seeking, wholeness. So that, obviously having that experience and then having an amazing relationship, an amazing marriage. When I came to my second divorce, which was completely unexpected.
Talk to me about the second divorce.
Yeah, well, we had an amazing life. We lived in South Africa, and unfortunately, we had a lot of problems with our business and finances. And my husband at the time, he had an affair, and I didn't know it at the time, but I kind of knew it, like, you know, like I felt it.
Is your body giving you signs again?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know when you're connected to someone and when you've got that, you know, that connection, and when that connection goes.
Oh, come
goes.
Back to connection, definitely.
Okay, cool.
I think that's such a good
So basically what happened was we moved back to England, and there was a period of time that we were apart, and I had this awful dream one night that he had left me. Like, literally, I woke up in tears that he
And this
left
was
me.
Just a dream?
You it was just a dream. Just a dream. Just a dream. I went to bed, okay. Had this dream. And the next day, I think I saw a picture of him on Facebook with a particular person. And I just knew that he was sleeping with her. I just knew something had gone on. And I confronted him about it, and he said no. And then when he eventually arrived, we had a big argument about it, and he denied everything. And then 2 years later, I found out he was having an affair with someone else.
So he continued?
Not the same person, but he then obviously tried to make family life work. But there was something very different about our relationship to how it had been previously.
And how was it? How was it different?
I think just there wasn't the honesty, wasn't there? There seemed to be this thing between us that neither of us were talking about. And every time I tried to do my best to address it, he wouldn't really address the situation. So it led to a divorce, basically. It led to a breakup.
And you were a coach at this point?
Yes, yes. So,
and was there anything that you could do in terms of coaching your way through it, I guess, if you were...
That's a really good question. When I found out about it, my immediate response was, apart from, like, just being devastated and obviously deeply distraught and upset and panicked, was that we're bigger than this. You know, our love for each other is bigger than this. Mm. And we know so many people that can help us. And I spoke to a number of really, like, good coaches that were friends of ours. And he didn't want to do the work. I think he, you know, whatever his journey was in it, he just didn't want to do the coaching. He didn't want to do anything like that. And he left. And so when someone leaves, there's only so much you can do. And it was really bizarre, because at the time I just thought, I'm going to write a book about this one day, because it's going to help people.
Yeah.
And that was like 2010 that happened. So we're in 2019 and the book's almost ready.
Oh,
so it's been a journey.
Definitely. Yeah. And people do have affairs, but you hear about it, and it must be absolutely horrendous. How did it actually make you feel? You've got two children, you as you said, you were living, or you'd had this lovely life together.
Yeah.
What did it feel like when did he finally admit to you, oh, that I'm having this affair, or did you...
Well, I won't go into the details of the moment with the confrontation, and it's really interesting, because I think Because I had done this in my first marriage, and I'd felt so much guilt, like it was so out of character for me to do something like that, and I felt guilty. First of all, I thought, God, you know, the universe is punishing me. I'm
karma.
Yeah, karma.
I've been there as well. Yes,
exactly. And I remember sort of, you know, having an enormous amount of compassion because I'm a psychotherapist. I understood my, you know, his psychology. And I really realized that he previously had been addicted to drugs. And, you know, he talks about that himself. So that's why I'm sharing that. There was a part of me that had an enormous sort of love for him because I just thought, gosh, he must be in so much pain. One, that he's lying, because the first thing we tend to do when we're confronted with being told, asked about an affair, is we lie because we're so afraid of losing our security. You know, we're programmed for security.
Of course. I can imagine that being
I did the same. The same. I lied. You know, I told my first husband, no, I'm not having an affair. Because we're so conditioned to seek security within us and to be safe. And particularly if you're not sure if you want to have the other thing or if you want what you've got, then, you know, we will lie. And also, there's the part
of you're going to lose that person as well. And if you haven't made up your mind one way or the other, it's risking everything.
Absolutely. But also, if we, you know, usually there is love for the other person. And there's the part of us that actually doesn't want to hurt them. We don't want to be truthful.
Yeah.
And so because we're not truthful, because we're not honest, and we can talk about that because that's a whole thing about why I believe relationships break down anyway. I know that at the time he did it because he wanted to protect me. Yeah. I didn't see that at the time.
I was incredibly
angry. I was, you know, I felt like that crazy woman that you sort of see on, what was that, Fatal Attraction movie.
Did you do anything crazy? Did you cut his clothes up?
No, I didn't do anything like that. But there was one occasion when we were driving down a country road to collect the children and we started arguing in the car and he just said, pull over. And I felt like he just wasn't listening to me. He was on the phone. We got in the car and we were supposed to be talking and he wasn't listening to me. And his phone kept ringing. And he said, pull over. And he just got out. He said, that's it, I've had enough. He said, I've had enough with you type thing. And he slammed the door shut and he was walking in front of me down this country lane. And I actually felt like driving, killing honestly, you know, I can see that moment
feel
completely. So incensed and so crazy.
So you wanted to run him.
And I did in that moment. Obviously not, you know, not really. But your cognitive, when you're so stressed, your cognitive brain function stops. And that's why I think people do these crazy things where they don't think they would ever do that, but they do. You know.
At any point did you feel like you wanted to end, or were you so upset that you wanted to end your own life?
You know, there were very dark days, and I think when we have very dark days, there's often that thought that comes in, I would be better not being here. But I had two beautiful children, and I had a great support system, and there was a part of me that, like, inherently knew this was happening to me for a greater reason. Mm. And I think I really believed in that. Like, I really honestly believe that everything that happens to us is there to serve us in some way and ultimately to bring us back to, you know, that home within us, which is a seat of love. So, you know, I'm not saying I knew that all the time.
Not while you were going through
it. No, not necessarily while I was going through it. But I always knew that I would be okay, but I just had to keep going, really.
Nowadays we hear that divorce, I don't know what the latest stats are, is it?
It's still about sort of 45 to 50%, depending which country.
Do you think a lot of people firstly stay in marriages where they aren't happy, that they're settling, that they're just feeling comfortable, or what did you say before, feeling secure, but it's not necessarily because they love that person? What is it that you think that does keep marriages together? Or what is it that goes?
That's a great question. So I think the first thing to address in the first part of what you said is that, you know, people stay together and, you know, for the security. and better what you know than what you don't know. We're afraid of the unknown.
Yeah.
We're very used to what we're comfortable with. Even if we don't like it, we would prefer that to what we absolutely don't know. And you see, this is where it comes in, that your relationship is this ground for you to learn unconditional love for yourself and the other person, and everybody in the world, to be honest. So the thing is, when you're in a relationship, it's going to show you everywhere that you don't love yourself. Okay. So when you're getting uncomfortable with how that person is behaving, or so say, for instance, the person doesn't give you enough attention and you're looking at that person and you're thinking that person is so selfish. Yeah. They are the most selfish man on the planet. Like, we hear that a lot as women, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, imagine if you were to, when you're feeling that, to look at that as a reflection of yourself. Where am I not selfish? Because what we do is we project onto the other person the disowned parts of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And most often, what your relationship is showing you is that you need to be more selfish with yourself. Like, you need to put yourself first. You need to make yourself a priority.
So the part, the bit that you're not liking in a person is the bit that you need to work on yourself.
Yes.
Itself.
Yes, it's like you disown it. So when you have that situation, when someone is extremely selfish, and you know, I hear this mostly from my women clients, okay? Mm-hmm. My husband is so selfish, he always does what he wants to do. And I'll ask him, well, what do you do for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I don't do anything. I do things for the kids, I do things for my work, I do things for him. They don't do anything for themselves. And so the reason you're so, like, the incensed with their selfishness is because you don't do that for yourself, you disown it. So it's really important. So when you sort of think about, like, marriages, you know, why do people stay together or why do they end up separating? I honestly believe that it comes back to your connection with yourself. Like,
now that's an interesting word, connection. And we've talked about it a lot, and actually with different guests on my show. It'd be interesting to know your view on connection.
Yeah, so connection is such an important thing, but mostly that you're connected to yourself. So when I feel when I say the word connection, I'm talking about my ability to go within and be connected to the source of, like, love, divinity within me. And ultimately, it's about we're energetic beings.
Mm.
So our energy body is way bigger than our physical body. And if we're truly connected to, like, the light, the spark, the energy within us, then what happens is we're connected to the source of pure consciousness, which is pure love, which is unlimited, and your infinite self. So if you're not connected to that, it will show up in your life, depression, lack of purpose, being unhappy, you know, just like...
And then presumably you wouldn't be able to connect with another human being. If you can't connect with yourself, then...
You are disconnected in your relationship. And I definitely had that in my second marriage, you know, in both my marriages, actually. But for most problems will happen because... And often the reason that... we spoke a little bit about honesty. You see, in relationships, we have to be honest. And so often we're not honest because we're afraid of hurting that other person's feelings. You don't go out, like, you know, you say you go out to dinner or to a party and you're attracted to someone, or someone was attracted to you and you felt turned on by it. You very rarely tell your partner, oh, this person was attracted to me, or, and I actually felt turned on by it.
You're afraid.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a very open relationship.
Yeah. That doesn't mean you want to have sex with that person that was attracted to you.
It's not.
But you're afraid to tell your partner that, because if you tell your partner that, they're going to... Their own stuff's going to come up, you know, your stuff's going to come up. You may not be safe to say that. And so that creates, you know, that happens over a period of time, all these little secrets, whether it's I'm confused as to whether this is the right relationship for me, or honey, we're not connecting, or we're not having sex anymore, or whatever it is. People don't talk about it because they are afraid of the consequence of talking about it.
Or they think it... And do they think it's over at that point without actually verbalising it?
They'd rather just hold it. It's then going into the unknown. So then what happens is, over a period of time, you've got this little secrets between you, and then you become disconnected from each other. And it's because you're disconnected from your truth and you're not expressing your truth. And I think so many relationships, because ultimately it's about intimacy. Because if you can be really honest, you're going to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're vulnerable, you're going to be going into a deeper level of intimacy about who you are, areas that you're ashamed of or feel shame about or feel embarrassed about, or, you know, we all have that one thing that we necessarily don't want anyone to know about.
I find vulnerability the hardest thing to express.
Exactly.
And it's, yeah, very difficult.
And so your connection and your intimacy starts to, there's a gap, and often that is reflected in yourself as well, and you're disconnected from your own source. Because if you were truly, truly connected to your source of love, you'd be able to talk about those things and not worry about the consequences, but be able to be with the conversation.
Yeah, and let it flow.
Maxine, and it is a practice. I just want to say it is a practice. It's not it's not like you do it once and you got it all. You know, it's a practice. It's an art, really.
And so, you help predominantly women, and it's quite interesting, this sort of man woman. Why do you think it is predominantly women that seek help?
I mean, I think my marketing is to women, so that's probably why I attract more women than men. I have worked with men. But I do think that women are more introspective. You know, most men after divorce will be in a relationship a lot quicker. Same with widowed men. They will go for that relationship. Whereas
What's
women
that all
will...
about? I find that fascinating. You know, I need to take time to get over a relationship.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of just jumping straight into the next relationship. It's...
Yeah, I don't know.
But I know a lot of men that do.
I think there's a number of reasons why that happens. You know, maybe it's to do with mother issues, because the relationship signifies the breakup with the mother from the womb. So that's why a man will maybe go in towards a woman quicker than a woman will go in towards a man. I mean,
interesting.
Interesting. I mean, it is interesting. Yeah.
So how do you? What would you say for women out there that are in pain? They're either going through a divorce, or, and it's not just divorces, it's women that are going through a relationship split up.
So, I mean, I work with people, you know, at all parts of the spectrum. Women that have just, that desperate to have that love in their life and find that relationship, and women that have gone through terrible relationship breakups and stuff. But the real thing is, you see, you have to connect and find that deep, deep love within yourself. You have to love yourself more than you've ever loved yourself, okay?
And it sounds a bit, you know, woo-woo, because I know people say, you've got to love yourself. And it's like, what do I say to people? I love myself, or look in the mirror and
go... You see, what happens is, in relationships, most of the time, we show up as our inner child. So we are relating to that person from our childhood self that has these limited, false perceptions and identity around love. And that's the main core of my work, you know, is helping that person individuate that inner child to their full adult self, which in your adult self, you know, I'm 51. When I show up as that person, it's very different to the person who's 5 and feels jealous, or the person that feels
completely
insecure and unsafe, you know. And you'll have this programming that is, you know, from the womb to the age of 7, that is part of your programming. So you have to do the inner work. You have to do that work. And when you do, your relationship, like your external world, changes. When your internal world changes and you do that inner work, your external will change. And you complete. So I take people for a process of connecting with that, bringing that inner child together with their infinite adult self. And then you look at integrating. Like, you do the completions on all your past relationships, which is so beautiful and so powerful. You see the gifts of them. Like, there's so many gifts to be seen in those relationships.
So do you make people write down all their sort of their past meaningful relationships, I guess? And
they can write them. I often get them to write the stories of their past relationship. And then we do a whole integration process, which is really, like, really, really powerful. Yeah. And it's an energetic thing as well. And then what we do is we look at what are the skills. What new skills do you have to develop in yourself as the way you relate to yourself so that you can relate to others differently? So that's, you know, things about honouring yourself, loving, you know, like truly putting yourself first. You know, most often we don't listen to ourselves. Like, if you're in a relationship and you're constantly saying, that person doesn't listen to me, guaranteed you do not listen to your own body. You don't listen to your own voice. You don't listen to your needs.
Really interesting.
Yeah, and then we do what I call love reimagined. Like, really, what is love? Like, what's juicy, orgasmic, amazing, sexy love? What is it? What is that to you?
Mm. And what is everyone different, or is there a magic?
I mean, there's some common themes in that, but they are different. Yeah, everyone does have that sort of uniqueness in there. I mean, but essentially, we all want to be loved,
seen, right?
We want to be witnessed. We want our lives to be witnessed,
completely.
That's why I think people get married.
And in terms of people getting married, do you think we're shifting in terms of society? Do you think we're going more towards marriage? Or do you think there's certainly less and less children in the Western world. But do you think the marriage...
I think marriage is still in fashion. I definitely think it's still in fashion. I think it'll always be in fashion to some degree. But yeah, I do think I know lots of people that want to get married. And do you know what's really interesting? When I work with women who are particularly come for the relationship, they want to meet someone, they all see themselves getting married.
Even if
75% of them see themselves getting
married. Even if they've been married before,
yeah,
they want to get married again. Yeah. So it hasn't put them off the first time. Well, obviously,
some people it does, yeah. But I'd say 75% of the people I work with who have either been married previously or you know, they essentially say, I want to be married. So that's why I say it's still in fashion.
Yeah, I guess it's a bit like giving birth. If you don't just have one, you forget the pain of the first one and you still do it.
You do. And do you know what's really, that's a really interesting point of view, because when you give birth, well, I mean, obviously depending on the length of your birth, but the oxytocins that you, like, once the baby's out, your body is flooded with oxytocin. And you are loved up, like, completely, yeah? And that's a little bit like, you know, like
taking drugs?
Well, no.
or when you fall in love.
Well, when you fall in love, it's like that. But also, my philosophy with my clients is, you have to have love as your healing. Like, love will transmute your pain. Yeah. And so you raise yourself into a love consciousness as opposed to the consciousness that created the problems. And most of the time, if you don't choose to heal, if you do it all on your own with your family and friends colluding with you, you will not raise yourself into a higher consciousness to do the work of healing more efficiently, more quickly, and more powerfully.
And so to go on to love again in a healthy way.
In a healthy way, yeah. And understand what a healthy, loving relationship is.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm very lucky.
So Maxine, what at the moment, you're doing coaching, you take on one-to-one clients.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself going in the next sort of couple of years?
Well, the book that I was going to write
about the book.
So it's called The Divorce Detox.
The Divorce Detox.
It's how to positively flush out your ex and fall in love with yourself, you know, or to love yourself more, really. And that's ready to sort of, by the end of the year, that'll be out and on the streets. And I have an online course based around that. And so really, my passion is helping women particularly to say yes to love, to loving themselves wholeheartedly, whatever phase they are in their life. And I see in the future, you know, retreats and workshops and let's rule the world, yeah.
I mean, I've got to say, I think this is such a huge topic, relationships, that we take for granted. We don't talk enough about it. I mean, I know as women we talk about it.
Yes.
But it's not discussed at schools. It's not discussed at sort of, you can't do a course on it as such, like you can at university, take various different things. Yeah, it's the one thing in life that we all strive to get right.
Mm. Mm.
And yet it can be the most difficult thing in life. And yet when you get it right, it can be fantastic and amazing.
It's interesting you say there's not a course at universities. Leo Bruscaglia, I can't remember which university it was, but he ran a course on love at the university, and it was the most attended course. Yeah, there's a book, I can tell you the book, but I totally agree, we need that. Mm. We need to talk about, you know, loving ourselves and really honouring the spirit that's within us, the life force that's within us.
That's great. Maxine, where can people find out a little bit more about you?
They can go to...
Your website?
Yes, that's a good idea. Yeah. do you want me to say what it is?
Yes, oh, absolutely. It will go in the show notes. Oh, but okay, yes, cool.
www.maxineclancy.com. I'm on Instagram, Maxine Clancy. And I'm on Facebook, yeah, Maxine Clancy Coaching. So, yeah.
Great. And there's one question that I ask all of my guests, and that is... If you were to write a message in a bottle that was going to be found for future generations, what would that message be?
It would be choose to love yourself more than you've ever loved yourself and choose it every day.
That's lovely. Maxine, thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you.